recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You can go on. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. I hope you're doing very well. Lots to get into. Romano's given us an update on Tchouaméni, and we probably shouldn't be surprised that it doesn't look like the deal can happen, and we've been spun again, but, you know, that's the way. Is Belaba back on because he had a half-decent game last night, his first of the season? Some people think he's the answer. The desperation in this fan base is pretty sad, isn't it? We'll talk about that. Also, Rashford could be heading to Newcastle. Could Denzel Dumfries be heading to Manchester United? And we'll delve into the fallout from last night that Michael Carrick is going to get the Man United job. We're just waiting for it to happen. I actually saw a very good tweet this morning, and basically it was saying that... What is very obvious is that the club know they're giving it to Carrick. All they're doing now for the next few weeks is manufacturing consent from you. So it's just a big PR thing now to try and make fans want Carrick. They've already made that decision. I mean, there was... that's not my words. That's a tweet, actually. But there is probably something to that, because when you look at it, they keep putting out that they're not in a rush to announce who's going to get the job. Well, they're not speaking to anybody else. So if they're not in a rush to announce the job, they're basically trying to do it at the end of the season when people can't moan about it. But there's a very definitive split in this fan base, and it's caused by the owners. And they're not going to change that. And I think going forward, we have got a problem, because there is a definitive factual split in this fan base, and it causes people to argue, but it won't change the split. There are certain people out there that wanted Ineos over Qatar and want Carrick over anything else and trust the Glazers. And there are some people who don't. And that's the split. And they shout at them and they shout at them. But that's the split that's been created by this football club. And the problem you've got is next season, if Carrick gets the job, those people that didn't want him to get the job won't be quiet. And those who do want him the job will shout back. And this, I don't know how you solve this, which is why... You know, we can discuss it, because I've got an interesting theory on it. But let's get into the news. So coming in from Fabrizio Romano last night, Manchester United appreciate Tchouaméni, but at the moment there is no indication from Real Madrid of doors being open for a potential exit this summer. He goes on to say that, I'd already read that. That's not the one I wanted to read. He goes on to say that Manchester United are planning to sign two or possibly more important midfielders in the summer, with decisions still to be finalised later. The club appreciates Tchouaméni, but Real Madrid are not open to selling him, so United would need clarity on Madrid's position before advancing. Other midfield targets United really like include players such as Anderson and Tonali, though competition is expected from clubs like Man City in what is shaping up to be a big summer for midfield signings. He also goes on to say that Manchester United are only interested in big midfield signings, and he's not talking about height. So, look, where we were yesterday morning, very interesting article from James Ducker in The Telegraph talking about Tchouaméni, and we know that Andy Mitten in The Athletic has mentioned Spanish La Liga midfielders in the past. So there was a little bit of excitement around Tchouaméni because he's playing in La Liga. Fabrizio was saying that Real Madrid don't actually want to sell, so Man United can't buy if they don't want to sell. But Man United are interested in big midfield signings this summer. Tonali and Anderson mentioned, but again, acknowledging the competition for places. More importantly, I think for me, is the comment that in the summer, Man United want to sign important midfielders with decisions still to be finalised later. I mean, is that not the headline? Like, Man United want to sign big midfielders in the summer with decisions to be finalised later. It's the 22nd of April. I mean, what? There's a fucking World Cup going on in June. Like, what are you waiting for? You want to finalise? Why? Why are you waiting to finalise? Why aren't you in advanced talks with these players? Why haven't you spoken to the clubs? What are you waiting for? What? So not only have you done nothing about the manager at all, you've just sat on your arse, you're now saying with the midfield, which is the most important area, you're finalising your plans. What are you... Carrick's been there since fucking January. You can't even use that as an excuse. You're going to give the job to Carrick and he's been there since January. So what you've been doing for 3 months? That's the thing. If we were actually going to give the job to another manager, I'd almost understand the delay. The guy we're giving the job to has been there since January. So why aren't you talking to players? You know, am I breaking new ground here? The guy who's going to be the manager is sat there. And the people who do the transfers are sat there. And they're in the same bloody building for 3 months. Why are you finalising your plans in late April? What are you waiting for? He's your manager. You're the director of football. Have a chat in January, February, March. And actually go for your targets in April while everyone else is struggling. I mean, Chelsea are on their arse. Liverpool are on the arse. Newcastle are on their arse. Arsenal are in a bloody title race. Now is the time for Man United to go, right, we know we're in the Champions League. Let's go for our players. And we're still finalising them. What? There's no excuse on... No, I'm sorry, there's no excuse for that. Whatever about the manager situation, we know they're going to give it to Carrick. He's been here since fucking January. Why are the conversations not going on? What are we actually waiting for? Madness to me. So, look, ultimately, we're probably going for bloody... But I mean, you know what? Belabor probably is our Michael Carrick. Like, Belabor is the player we want, and it's all about... How do we manufacture this deal so people want to do it? Because he's been crap all season. Obviously, had a good game last night against Chelsea. I've seen people going, oh, we should go for him off one bloody game. I mean, it's a head loss for me. He's been crap all season. People turn Sky on to watch Chelsea play Brighton. He plays quite well and people go, that's our midfielder. One bloody game. I'm not joking. He's been shit for 30 games and he has one good game and people are out there going, I think he could be the guy. I think he could be the guy. And you go... This is why we bloody fail. I mean, the Glazers must love owning Man United. There are people in our fan base that can just literally change their mind in 10 minutes. But look, I think in relation to Tchouaméni, it's as I said last night. That's a lovely cup of tea. I didn't say that last night. What I said last night is that I think it was in the mail that United were not denying being interested in Tchouaméni, but they weren't making any comment. And this is the glory of spin, is that if I run a football club and I need a midfielder and a journalist links me to Tchouaméni and I've not had any talks, and then another journalist rings me up and says, are you in for Tchouaméni? I say, look, we don't comment on anything. We're not denying anything. Doesn't mean you're confirming it either. So your fan base goes, ooh, they're not denying it. It might be true. And as I said to you last night, United have done this for years. You can ring them up about most players. And they'll say, well, we're not going to comment on that and we're not denying anything. We scout a lot of players. We'll never sign the player. So, look, Tchouaméni would be perfect. But this is the problem at this stage of the season, isn't it? We're crying out. And I don't blame any United fan. I did it yesterday. I don't blame any United fan for going, Tchouaméni would be a really exciting signing. You feel a bit mugged off when it's a complete and utter load of bollocks. But there's nothing wrong with us saying Tchouaméni would be a good signing. We're trying to replace Casemiro here. We're trying to replace Casemiro. I mean, look, just to deviate a little bit, I saw this today, and I'm not very good at... I don't really want to write the person's name because they could get... I mean, they might get positivity, they might get negativity. But basically, somebody put out on socials yesterday, if we miss out on Nagelsmann or Enrique, we're doomed. Carrick is good, but not great. We need great. And then somebody quote tweeted it and said, doomed? Michael Carrick as Man United sat in third when 12 months ago we were 15th. We're doomed. Nagelsmann was a shit show at Bayern Munich, unprofessional and despised by his player and management. Now, some people might agree with that. But my point is, that's the sort of, you know, ideas that float around Manchester United because people get excited about stuff. Yesterday morning, we're excited about Tchouaméni. This morning, he's not even for sale. But we're talking about replacing Casemiro. So if we're talking about replacing Casemiro, then we do need somebody like that because there's people out there who want Carrick to get the job, who think he's going to do really well next season. You haven't got Casemiro next season. Like one of the... See, there's a longer point here. That guy is there saying, Carrick's doing a great job. How will we be doomed next season? He's better than Nagelsmann, basically. And some people in our fan base think that. I'm not criticising it. My point is to them, you're saying, We don't need Nagelsmann. We don't need Enrique. We've got Carrick. We were 15th last year. We're now third. We're in the Champions League. We're getting good results. You know, Carrick's the guy. Fine. But the big problem you've got is that Casemiro is a big part of that and he's gone. So even if you like what's going on at the moment, even if you trust the results and the process at the moment, a big part of it is gone in the summer. So naturally, next season without Casemiro, we will be worse. Unless we get a replacement who's better. And that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe Michael Carrick's going to do really, really well. That's not my conversation. My conversation is Casemiro is a big part of our success under Michael Carrick. He's been brilliant under Carrick. Scored goals, absolutely superb. He won't have him next season. So we will be worse unless we buy better. So, you know, that I think is absolutely important that when we get excited about people like Tchouaméni or Tonali, it's because we're trying to replace Casemiro. We're not trying to replace bloody Dalot or Luke Shaw. I mean, most fullbacks are going to be better than them. We're trying to replace one of our best players this season. So when people say next season is going to be fine under Carrick, well, I hope you're right. But ultimately, if we don't replace the good players that we have at the moment, how's it going to be fine? It could get worse, couldn't it? Few people say, do you think Belaba could be an option? I watched the game last night. I did a watch along on That's Football, didn't I? He played quite well. There's two things I'll tell you about Belaba. One, I don't like his running style. I got criticised for this. Shut up. Running style is the same as passing style. It's the same as, you know, how fast somebody is. Like, you want somebody with a good centre of gravity, with agility off both feet and tenacity. He's on his toes too much. He runs around on his toes too much. That's a little thing. I think that, you know, that might be fine. My biggest issue with him is, and you can see why he's been shit this season, mentality is really weak, in my opinion. He played well last night, but when he doesn't get the ball or it doesn't go right, he's throwing his hands in the air. He's shaking his head. I think he needs to mature. I don't think he's ready for Manchester United. First lad says you're nitpicking. He's shit, mate. All right, I won't nitpick. I'll be blunt. He's been shit all season. That's the first time I've seen him play this season and play well. He's shit. That's not nitpicking. That's blunt. I think he's shit. I think he's an absolute mistake. And I think I'll be on the right side of history on that if United do it. I think he's shit. I also think he's got a weak mentality. I think even last night when he played well, he's out of position a lot. I think he's shaking his head a lot. I don't think he's got the mentality. I think he will absolutely sink under the pressure at Manchester United, is my opinion. Because I think he's sunk this season under the pressure of not getting a move to Man United. But he did play very well last night. But, you know, that's against the Chelsea side that's trying to get the manager sacked as well. But I wouldn't go anywhere near it. I won't go anywhere near it. I don't think he's the right player for Man United. I think it's a huge risk. Do I think the club will do it? Probably. If they do it, obviously I'll back him, but I'm saying it now. I don't want that to happen. I don't think it's the right thing to happen. You're telling me we should go for Belaba ahead of Tchouaméni, Tonali, Elliot Anderson, Adam Walter. I mean, the list is Alex Scott. The list, James Garner. There's so many players better than Belaba. I wouldn't go anywhere near him, in my opinion. But look, some people in our fan base are very, very easily led and very naive, and they trust Wilcox. And look, you know what? I'll say this about the manager. I think Carrick's going to get it, but I think I'll be on the right side of history when it goes wrong. And I will back him when he gets the job. I will back him, but you're asking me to trust Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada, and Sir Jim Radcliffe, right? That is, and you know what? It wouldn't be so bad if it was one person. You know, if we had a good owner and a good CEO and it was just Wilcox, it's like trusting your pet cow with McDonald's, isn't it? But with three of them, it's like if you're walking through a field and there's a big dog shit in it, the chances of you walking in that dog shit is one. But if there's three, it multiplies. So the incompetence at Man United multiplies because we've got three people I don't trust. It's not only I wouldn't trust my cow with Ronald McDonald Wilcox. I also wouldn't trust, you know, there's three issues there, isn't there? You know, I wouldn't trust Macau with Ronald McDonald. I wouldn't trust an arsonist with a box of matches. I wouldn't trust a bloody porn star with a tub of lube, you know? I wouldn't. There's three of them. I just wouldn't trust three of them. And people want me to trust them. I don't trust them on their decision making. I don't. And that's absolutely fine. And, you know, to the people out there that say, well, you know, I'm excited about Carrick or whatever like that. This is not about Michael Carrick, by the way. As I said last night, it's not about Michael Carrick. He's going to get the job and I hope it works out. I think I'll be right. I think it will go wrong, but I hope I'm right. It won't go wrong because of him. It goes wrong because of the people making the decision. It's not Liam Rosinha's fault Chelsea is shit. It's the people who appointed him and threw him into that situation. I don't trust the people making the decision. It's not that I don't trust Carrick. I just don't think he's the right person for the job. I don't trust the people making the decision. And to all the people who say, well, I'm really excited about this decision that the club are making, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I'm just going to say, like many others, I think this is a mistake and I'm scared, right? You can be excited about it. And I'll wave at you and say, you're excited. And if you're right, you're right, right? And I'll be really happy. But it's a little bit like the people who got on the Titanic, the unsinkable. You're all waving off at Southampton, very happy and excited about, you know, you're going on the Titanic. It's an amazing boat, yeah? I'm not going on that one. I'm not trusting that. I'll go on the next one and I'll wave you off. And you can always say you were the first person to go on the Titanic, right? And off you go, top of the range. Trust me, bro, right? What happened to the Titanic? And if it had made it to New York, and I wish it had, I'd have gone, you know what? That sounds like great fun. I should have gone on the, maybe I should have gone on the first trip. But you know what? I'll go on the second one. I think I'll be on the right side of history with this. And I think a lot of people agree. I don't think this is the right thing to do. And I do agree that, you know, when we get headlines like United aren't rushing on making a decision on the manager, well, that, you know, how stupid do you need to be to actually figure out what they're saying? Man United aren't rushing to make a decision on the manager. They're not interviewing anybody else. So they already know who the manager is. They're just waiting to announce it. It's like a new contract. You don't announce a new player contract when you've just lost to Leeds. You wait until you beat Liverpool. And that's I think they're just, as that tweet said this morning, United know they're giving it to Carrick. They're just manufacturing consent from you. They would never announce Carrick if we lost to Liverpool. But if we beat them 4-0, we might announce it. They're manufacturing consent because that's all this club is. It's PR. You know, maybe they're waiting for a good game from Belaba to say, yeah, we're after him again. Maybe they've been after him for months. I think that there is a definitive and mature conversation here, which some people can't have. There is a split straight down the middle of this fan base. It might be more, I don't know. But look, we did a poll the other day and it was 80% didn't want Carrick and 20% did. I'm going to say it's 50-50. I mean, I might be wrong to say that, but people might be saying, why are you saying 50-50? It's clearly loads of people don't want him. But let's say 50-50 is bad enough. Let's say it's 50-50. Let's say 50% don't think Carrick should get it and 50% do think Carrick should get it, right? That's still a massive problem. That's a split fan base. We have a split fan base and it's split by the ownership and their inability to unite us and excite us. And, you know, I don't see how that helps us in the future because all that happens is next season, maybe we win our first three games, right? And everyone's like, this was a great decision. And then maybe we start playing in the Champions League and we struggle with two games a week and we lose three in a row. And people will go, we never should have given him the job. There'll be no patience at all, will there? Absolutely none. And that will be the problem in this fan base in the future, is that we don't have anything united. And look, one of the fair questions you get is, and I saw it in an article today, and let me read it because it's better to read it and then react to it. Where was it? We'll talk about Dumfries and Rashford in a minute. Okay, I'm sure I bookmarked this somewhere. Rashford, Eddie Howe is being considered for the Man United job, according to the Mail. That's got to be a joke.
It's got to be a joke.
Here it is. It was in the mail last night. Man United have conducted background checks on several head coach candidates, but barring a late season collapse, it would be a surprise they do not give the job to Michael Carrick. While other options remain, there is belief at Old Trafford that not keeping Carrick would be a major gamble after his strong case to stay. And this is the PR that they're putting out, and some people will swallow it, and that's absolutely fine. But when you read it, it's so full of holes, it may as well be the Titanic, right? Man United have conducted background checks on several head coach candidates, but unless Michael Carrick starts losing, they'll give him the job. I mean, this is what I mean about not trusting Macau with Ronald McDonald. I mean, this is the people making the decision. There's no context to this. There's no context to this decision at all. So he's done really well, but if he loses to Brentford and Liverpool, they might get rid of him. I mean, even somebody that doesn't think we should give it to Carrick thinks that's preposterous. So he's beaten Arsenal and Man City, but if he loses to Brentford and Liverpool, you won't give him the job. But if he does beat them, if he does, you will give him the job. So basically, this is just about money, isn't it? This is about the Champions League. It's not about our future. It's just about if he gets Champions League football, we get £100 million so you can have the job. And if we don't get that, we don't get the money, so you're not having the job. I mean, what sort of decision-making is that? Where's the context to actually making this decision like a proper football club? Because it goes on to say, there is a belief at Old Trafford that not keeping Carrick would be a major gamble after his strong case to stay. But you've contradicted yourself there, because you're basically saying if he loses some more games, you won't give him the job. But if he does get Champions League football, you will. So what you're talking about, strong case and major gamble to get rid of him, your context is you know, it's slimmer than an ant's fart. Like, it's basically, if he makes you money from being in the Champions League, he can have the job. And if he doesn't, he can't. What about the two pillars here that should have been considered from the start? Is there any managers better than him out there? Yes. And also, is there any context to the good results we've had? Yes. So first and foremost, they've just completely and utterly ignored those two absolute pillars of a recruitment process. When you're looking to recruit a manager, are there better candidates than what you have? Because most people will have an interim. Gus Hiddink was an interim at Chelsea. You know, there's been many interims who just come in for a short period of time, do quite well, but don't get the job. Because most clubs will go, you've done a really good job, but there's a better manager than you. Are there better coaches than Michael Carrick out there? Of course there are. Of course there are. Iriola's a better coach, so there are better coaches out there. Second of all, is there any context to the results that we've got? Oh my God, can I get my pen and paper? Is there a reason Man United have won all these games recently? Well, yeah, of course there is. We've been playing one game a week, so we're fresher than everybody else. Also, we've had a bit of luck. We've had a couple of red cards. We've had a couple of individual brilliant goals. So that's another one. Are other teams shitter than normal? Yes, you can guarantee that. Of course you can. So there is context to these results as well. And all United seem to be doing is going, well, we don't care if there's any better coaches out there, and we don't care if there's context to these results. Also, we're very reliant on Bruno, Casemiro and Maguire, who are very old and might not all be here next season. They've taken no context in relation to the results, and they've put no context in relation to there being better managers out there. They've just basically said, if he gets Champions League football, he gets the job. And that, to me, is incredible. Because football is context. Of course it is. Otherwise, why is Di Matteo not the manager of Chelsea anymore? He won the bloody Champions League. The context is what's going to happen next season and why are we making decisions like this? On top of that, when we talk about the division in the fan base, can I just say this? Man United finished 15th last year and the fan base did nothing. Chelsea won the Club World Cup last year. Have spent £2 billion on transfers in the last three seasons and are seventh in the league, and they're protesting. Get your head around that. Get your head around that. Chelsea Football Club are seventh in the Premier League and have spent £2 billion on transfers in the last few years and their fans are protesting. Man United, eh? Let me get into some of your comments. I'd still be afraid if the player drop-off now. We have qualified for Europe, says Alan Noonan. I don't think there'll be a player drop-off because I think they want to keep Carrick, so I think they'll carry on. Yeah. Belabor's mentality is now the norm in today's game. Players' feelings are managed as much as their fitness. Rashford as well. Carrick is the best dad, says Keel. Danny says, we'll never understand people who still trust the owners, including Ineos, but they are clever. They don't want to unite us. British Empire tactics, Ireland, India, Man United, divide and conquer, says Danny. Well, it's interesting you say that, Danny, because, you know, this is not scaremongering. It's a fact. There's people in this chat that trust Sir Jim and Brada and Jason Wilcox and Juan Carrick. There's people in this chat that don't. It's a definitive factual split. It's not, you know, it's news. Hello, breaking news. The Man United fan base is split. The question is, who has split it? Well, obviously the incompetence of the board and the owners have split the fan base. They've done it for years. Have they done it willingly? Or have they done it because they're incompetent? Now, as you said, divide and conquer makes people argue amongst themselves while everyone else gets away with it. I don't know whether that's what Man United are doing. I just don't think they're very good at what they do. What is an acceptable season for Carrick next year, says Robert. Well, I've said this before, Robert. I've said this before. What is good? What is good? I mean, I want to see Man United challenging for titles. I think if you bring in a top-class manager and back them, that's still possible. I don't think Arsenal and Man City are that good. You know, shock, horror, I don't think Arsenal are that good. And they're in a title race. I don't think the gap to Arsenal is as big as it was to maybe Man City and Liverpool a few years ago. I actually think with a top-class manager and top-class signings, Man United very, very quickly could close the gap on Arsenal and Man City. I didn't feel like that 3 or 4 years ago. I felt like it was very, very difficult. So what's an acceptable season for Manchester United next season under Carrick is dependent on what the board do in the summer. But I feel like fifth place and people will be knocking one out. I do. I feel like I don't recognise certain people in our fan base anymore. They've become cheerleaders for something they were criticising for years. I think the club would be very happy with fifth next year. They'd never say it publicly, but I think they would like to be fifth for the next 5 years so they can build the stadium whilst ripping off the fans, as we've said before. United made the same amount of money from 10 home games this season that they made from 15 last year. They are ripping people off you to help themselves. Hi, Mark and the United Stand. Hope you're well. We need top quality players who will help us compete, yet the board obsess without going for players who've been poor and struggled to start for mid-table teams. Pay for quality, not waste it on mediocrity, says Daniel. Well, it'd be interesting, as I said, it'd be very interesting what Fabrizio said about Man United wanting to go for big midfielders this summer. Who are these big midfielders going to be? I think we're going to go British. I think we want to go British. I mean, it sticks. It's always... Here's a blast from the past. Putting the Manchester back into Manchester United. Who was it who said that? Was it Sir Jim? I think it was Sir Jim Ratcliffe, wasn't it? Putting the Manchester back into Manchester United. I just wonder whether he has said to Wilcox and Berarda, I'm fed up of spending big money on foreign managers. I want this club to go with what I know, and I want us to be, you know, more British, which you can hide under Premier League proven with that. And maybe putting the Manchester back into Manchester United is buying British players and keeping people like Harry Maguire and giving the job to Michael Carrick and Steve Holland. Maybe that's a tactic. I don't know. Because I've always struggled with what putting the Manchester back into Manchester United meant. And he obviously had some very interesting comments a couple of months ago, didn't he? What was all that uproar a couple of months ago about? Can't remember what it was. It was immigration, wasn't it? So, you know, didn't he vote for Brexit as well? Maybe he just wants or thinks that Man United are best served going British. Maybe he thinks that having British managers and British players helps Manchester United get back on top. Sir Alex Ferguson was Scottish. A lot of the class of 92 they were all British, weren't they? So, you know, maybe that's what he's thinking. I don't know. We're third because Liverpool, Chelsea and Newcastle are bad, says Nick. Real Madrid never sell players in their prime unless they're not good enough, says Goldfridge. So if there's anything to Tchouaméni, I'd be very suspicious anyway. I mean, by the sounds of it, he's not for sale, is it? They'll probably give us Camavinga. Slazy says, I'm always suspicious when we buy big name players from the clubs like Real Madrid. Like, why would they let them go? Shouldn't our recruitment team rather look at the ones they're trying to replace them with? Says Slazy. Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's the Ugarte thing. I said this yesterday, Slazy, isn't it? We help PSG out by taking a player they don't want so they can get João Neves. You want to be going for João Neves. Mark, I personally think we're just setting Carrick up for the Ollie treatment. Take in 1 to 2 years, he gets sacked. What happens then? McKenna, says Red Devil News. Well, look, it's a good point. You know what I said about the Titanic, right? There'll be people that are excited about getting onto the Titanic and there'll be people going, I don't know whether I fancy that as a first voyage. Let's see how it goes. And it's the same with trusting Wilcox and co on Carrick. There'll be some people going, oh, yeah, this is great. I love this. I'm going to trust them. Because ultimately, people need to remember, and the last night's show was brilliant because of this. People need to remember, this is not about Carrick. It's not about Liam Rosinha at Chelsea. They didn't, you know, force the club to give them a contract. The club made that choice. And some people don't understand that technically, and people are going to hate what I'm going to say here, but unfortunately, it's true. Technically, arguing with people who say we shouldn't give it to Carrick is backing Wilcox and backing Sir Jim and backing Berarda. You are basically, technically, you know, trusting the ownership of this football club because it's what you want. No, I'm not doing that. Sorry, I'm just not doing that. If Carrick gets the job, I wish him all the best. And I hope it works. I hope I'm not on the right side of history saying this is not going to work. I hope I'm wrong. But even if we start next season off really well and we win the first 8 games, I still will say, well, hold on a minute. How many times has it started well with people? It started well with Mourinho. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, isn't it? So I think that... Oh, Son says I'm a weasel. Oh, Son, is that because you just realised that you're supporting the Glazers and Ineos and trusting them? Sorry, pal. I told you it would upset some people. Unfortunately, technically, you are trusting Wilcox, Berarda, Sir Jim and Joel Glazer on their appointment of Carrick. You are backing them. I'm sorry, but you are. It doesn't mean you're Glazer in. It doesn't mean you love Ineos. It just means you're trusting them. You are trusting them. Technically, you are. It's unfair, but it's true. But my point is, by that's the conversation here. It's actually not about Carrick. If they give it to Southgate and you back them on that, you know, if they give it Iriola, you're backing them on that. You know, if they give it Nagelsmann, technically I'm backing them on that. I completely agree. I'm trusting them on the decision as the owner of the football, as the owner of the Football Club of Manchester United. But like the Titanic, the people on the Titanic who are waving us off saying, you know, we think this is the right thing. And we're going, I think I'm going to be on the right side of history here. Tell me what's different to Solskjaer. Because I was singing Ollie's at the Wheel. We all did. So tell me what is different about this compared to Solskjaer. Because I would actually argue... there was more excitement about Solskjaer. The fan base was more united behind that. And the team was better. And look at how that went. So tell me what is different about giving it to Carrick compared to giving it to Solskjaer. Because I think under Solskjaer, we had a more united fan base. We had a better team. And we played better football. So what's the difference? What is the difference? And that, I think, is where some people struggle to get excited because they go, what am I getting excited about here? And the question keeps getting asked, but what are we getting excited about here? Other than results, where there is context. And as I said, leave Carrick out of it. He doesn't need to come and defend himself because no one's attacking him. The people we're talking about is the board and their failure yet again to do anything other than spend time looking for consent through PR. That's all that's going on now. They know that contract is absolutely there. That contract for Carrick is being worked on now. Absolutely, 100%, that contract with Carrick is being worked on now. They're working through it, and then it's going to get announced whenever. So why are United not owning up to that? Because they're working through a PR cycle of getting your consent for a decision that they'll never get the full consent for. Because when they announce it, there'll be a lot of people going, I don't think this is a good idea. And there'll be a lot of people saying, I do think it's a good idea. And most people will go, I hope it's a good idea. But I don't trust them. And I don't think a lot of people do. I don't. You're asking me to trust people who've made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, and I don't trust them. And I think this is a risky choice, a very risky choice that we've done before. And all we've got is a bunch of people most of us don't trust, asking them to trust them again. And that is the concern. And that, as I said before on Monday night, that's what I'm scared of. Midri says, morning, Mark. I'm very worried about next season. Wilcox is not good at his job. Carrick is not the answer. We need a better manager. Jason says, I'll be Carrick out due to Glynneos. Can't trust them. And if or when Carrick gets the job, do you think there is any chance of him getting different assistant coaches? Or are we definitely stuck with Holland? Says United. I'd love him to get rid of Holland. I don't like Steve Holland's football. But absolutely, I agree that it would be ridiculously... Well, it's the same situation, isn't it? If Carrick gets the job and then he gets rid of Holland and we start losing, people will be saying, oh, he's got... What I'm saying is he's got to keep Steve Holland. He has to keep Steve Holland, 100%. Has to keep him. You know, you can't get rid of the guy that's basically got you these results. It has to keep him. I felt for a while Carrick would get the job. It's the easy call. United are trying to spin it as a big positive, but haven't nailed it yet, says John. We have to have the same standards for whoever it is, says Robert. Robert, I personally think if you get Champions League football this season, you've got to be in the top three next season. If you want me to give it, but I don't know that that's going to be the standard set by the club. I think they'll be happy with fifth. Dave Lindsay, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. Alan Noonan's, we've done that one for you, from you as well. Let me just go through a couple of other bits of news this morning. So firstly, I can get through this one very, very quickly, and then we'll talk about the Rashford one. So reports in Italy have got Manchester United linked to Denzel Dumfries. Manchester United and Aston Villa are both in the race to sign Inter Milan right-back Denzel Dumfries. The Dutch international could be available for around 30 million euros, making him an attractive option. Man United are keen to strengthen their squad with experienced, high-quality players without overspending. Dumfries fits that profile, offering a proven ability at both club and international level while remaining relatively affordable. I mean, all that is absolutely fantastic, you know, and I'm all for Manchester United buying players that are, you know, experienced and good, that are better than what we've got. And I think better than what we've got is absolutely a really important thing to say. However, the biggest problem you've got is that he's just turned 30. So that's the end of that. He's 5 years too old for Man United, who are not looking for experience. They're looking for people under 26. So that won't happen. Talking about people over 26, remember Marcus Rashford is 29 next season. But a report in The Sun this morning says Newcastle could move for Rashford if negotiations between Barcelona and Man United break down. The England international is reportedly valued at around 40 million euros, making him a potentially attainable target should he become available on the market. The Magpies are said to be monitoring the situation closely, particularly as uncertainties surround Anthony Gordon's future at the club. If Gordon departs, Newcastle may look at Rashford as a high-profile replacement to strengthen their attacking options. What that article fails to do, and I will do immediately, is acknowledge that Newcastle are never, ever, 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 ever going to pay 300 grand a week to Marcus Rashford. So this is why we are in trouble, because he has 2 years left on his contract at 300 and some say 30 grand a week with the Champions League football pay rise. We are going to have to repackage this. We are going to have to get Rashford in a room and say, we're sorry. We're really sorry about how we treated you. We want you to be our left winger next season, and we're going to run a big campaign. You're going to wear the new kit. You're going to say you love Manchester and you never wanted to go to Barcelona anyway. We're going to say it was all Amrim's fault and you're going to be our left winger. And Rashford's probably going to look at them and go, what? And they're going to go, well, it's either that or we fall out and you don't go anywhere because no one's paying you wages, mate. So we got to make the best of this. And maybe that's what's going to happen in the summer, because I can't, if he doesn't go to Barcelona, I just can't see a scenario other than, you know, what is it? PR, you know, fan consent. They'll have to run a big PR campaign, because I just can't see where he goes. I just can't see where he goes. I mean, I agree. There'll be a load of clubs who would want Rashford for 35 million. I would want Rashford for 35 million. If I was the manager of, Juventus or Atletico Madrid or Monaco or Newcastle or Aston Villa, I would definitely want Rashford for 35 million. My big problem is Rashford would say, quite rightly, I am on 300 grand a week at Man United for the next 2 years. And with all due respect, why would I take a pay? Why would I take a pay cut? You know, it's not for me to do that. So United will not know a way out of this, because Harry Maguire nearly went to West Ham about 3 years ago. The deal was done. But basically West Ham said, we will give you 30 million for Maguire, but we're only going to give Harry 100 grand a week. And Maguire apparently said, well, I will go to West Ham, but I'm not taking a 50% pay cut. You need to pay me more wages for the next couple of years. And United were like, no, we're not going to do that. So there might be a way for Rashford to get out if United cover his wages off, but we won't do it. So I genuinely don't know how we resolve the Rashford situation if he doesn't go to Barcelona, because there'll be plenty of clubs that want him, quite rightly, but they won't want to pay 300 grand a week, and he's got 2 years left on his contract. So Robert McCormack says Barcelona will win the negotiation. He stays there. Robert's great point. I remember saying this a couple of months ago. If Barcelona want him and he wants Barcelona, then they will win, because Man United haven't got a leg to stand on. I don't know why Man United allow, maybe they tell them to do it. I don't know why Man United allow journalists to put it out there that United will not negotiate on the 25 million, or United, there is no future at Man United for Onana. We don't have the power. We don't have the power to do that. If Barcelona don't pay the 25 million, he comes back to Man United and we have Rashford on 300 grand a week. So what are you going to do then? Billy Big Bollocks, what are you going to do then? And the same with Onana. If Onana comes back in the summer on 115 grand a week, who are you selling him to? So I think ultimately, I'm with you, Robert. I hope Barcelona do want him. They're just trying to negotiate the fee down. And ultimately, how low would you go? You're in a difficult position, but United might have to negotiate. They might have to. Keel says, we have to trust them. Objective better than subjective. I don't have to do anything, mate. And I'm certainly not going to trust. I mean, up to you. But when people tell me to trust the process at Man United, I think about, oh, are these the same people that said Ineos are going to be so good for the club compared to Qatar? Are these the same people that said Ineos will have the Glazers out by 2026. Can somebody tell me what year it is? Oh, it says it right there. Look, April the 22nd. It doesn't say 2026, but it is. So I cannot trust this ownership. And what I can do is, sadly, I hope they're right. Sadly, I'm pretty confident I'll be on the right side of history on this decision they're about to make around the manager. I'm pretty confident, because, as I said to you last night, the fact that they can't even interview other candidates shows me their huge incompetence, that they're scared, they're terrified of interviewing other people, because they're terrified that they'll interview people that are better than what they want to do. And they're terrified of it going public and the fans going, well, you should do that. That's why they've not interviewed anybody. Let's get real. The reason we publicly haven't interviewed anybody is because they don't want to be exposed. I mean, for God's sake, after the FA Cup, when Ten Hag won the FA Cup, And a lot of us were like, give him a chance. He's won the FA Cup. Give him a chance. They still publicly interviewed De Zerbi and Tuchel. It was well known that, and I think they interviewed somebody else as well. So they were still making their decision around Ten Hag, who'd won the FA Cup, and they still publicly interviewed Tuchel and De Zerbi. They haven't interviewed anybody this time because they're terrified of it. They're terrified of interviewing people because they're terrified of, one, finding somebody better, and two, the fans going, you should have gone for them. That's why this is just PR at the moment. They're just trying to manipulate everybody into their way of thinking when actually we've only got one choice anyway. There's no point in manipulating us. Just do it because you're only making one choice. Barcelona will win the negotiations. Patrick Lynch is in the house. He says, this is the most unpredictable... Patrick says, this is the most unpredictable summer for a while. There are so many variables and risks, but if we don't seize the opportunity and make the best choices possible, we'll be wallowing in obscurity for another decade. Another decade might be a little bit much. I'd always say 3 years. I think every bad decision costs you 3 years, you know. I think that's fair. Unless you do like you did with Moyes and Amrim and you change it very, very quickly. But on average, it's going to be 3 years if we get it wrong. And I think that's a scary proposition itself. Jason says, I'm Carrick out because I can't trust Glinios. Midri says, I'm worried about next season. Wilcox is not good enough at his job. Carrick is not the answer. We need a better manager. Barcelona wrote that as well. When do you think they'll announce Carrick? Well, they've still got Maynou's contract to announce as well. So they've got two big positive PR stories that they're sitting on. I would imagine if we beat Liverpool, one of those comes out, if not both. They might double whammy us. But I would say that they will wait for a positive result. And we might have Champions League football. I can't remember when the earliest point we can. Somebody said last night, if we beat Brentford, we've got Champions League football, but we haven't because we've got a 12 point gap. We've got an 8 point gap on Brighton, and they've got four games to play, and Brighton don't play until after we've played Brentford again. So Brighton technically can get to 62 points at the moment. So if we beat Brentford, we'll be on 61. So dependent on. Let's say we beat Brentford and we go to 61. And then Brighton go to Newcastle, I think. Yeah, so Brighton go to Newcastle. If we beat Brentford, we're 11 points ahead of Brighton, who go to Newcastle on the Saturday. Now, if they don't win, we've got Champions League football before we play Liverpool. So basically, on Saturday the 2nd of May, on the afternoon, if Brighton don't beat Newcastle, we'll technically have Champions League football before we play Liverpool. So I think as soon as we've got Champions League football, they'll probably announce it. I think that's what they've been waiting for. And to be honest with you, they should just announce it because we all know it's going to happen and we just need to start getting on with whatever this new world is. The uncertainty isn't doing anybody any favours, is it? Rupert, thank you very much for your super chat. And also, you do have to empathise and sympathise with Michael Carrick. I hope that he doesn't take any notice of social media and he isn't on there. Because ultimately, when he gets this job, it's going to be one of the best achievements of his life. He played for Man United and then he's going to get the Man United job. It's the same for Ollie. So I do sympathise with Carrick. In a different world, 100% of the fan base might be with him like they were with Ollie. But the reason it splits is because we've got Pratt making bad decisions all the time. And he'd be intelligent enough to know that. You know, he'd be intelligent enough to, you know, enjoy the opportunity, know that the fans will back him. But he'll be intelligent enough to know why fans are concerned about him getting the job, because it's not personal. It's the incompetence of the board and not trusting the board. That's the thing. This is why I'm protected of Carrick. Nothing against him. Best caretakers is Savage. Do you think you will get top four in Baller League, Mark? Yeah, we're not talking about Baller League, Daniel. I don't think people want to talk about that. We're dropping points against Brentford, then hopefully beat Liverpool, says Gaz. I mean, Brentford are good, but God, we can't drop any more points at home, surely. I can see us beating Brentford and Liverpool. Dawn says, oh God, so, apologies. I'll read it, but just idiot alert. Okay. Dawn says, you have such a toxic agenda against Carrick, not because Carrick is not good, but for your own narrow interest in wanting to set the tone on anything regarding United. Right. First of all, Dawn, go and have a walk, put a smile on your face, interact with people, and try and help yourself, because toxic agenda is normally comes out the word of people who have no brain and cannot deal with different opinions. And I'm very, very confident that over the last few weeks, it's been discussed many, many times that there is a split in the fan base and some people are scared of trusting this board and giving it an inexperienced coach when there is context around those results. And some people are happy just to jump on and trust them like they did with Ollie. That is not toxic agenda. That's just a different opinion to you that actually has been detailed and explained multiple times. That is not toxic agenda. That is just a different opinion to you. As for wanting to set the tone on anything regarding Manchester United, well, I think everybody wants their opinion to be heard. Otherwise, why have an opinion? Yeah? You know, if you go down to your Costa today, please do have a coffee and interact with people. If they serve you up a coffee and you can tell the milk is not right, are you just going to drink the milk or are you going to say, excuse me, the milk is off? If you have an opinion on something, of course you want people to listen to it. Apologies for that, but I do draw the line at anybody's opinion that's detailed and fair being called agenda or hate. That's not agenda, it's not hate, it's just a different opinion. Unfortunately, we do live in a society now where if somebody has a different opinion to you, it's hate or it's a toxic agenda. What if your agenda, Dawn, is toxic? What if your agenda of wanting to trust Ineos and the Glazers is toxic to this fan base? Because, you know, I can play that game as well. But I choose to respect your opinion. I choose to respect the fact that you want Carrick to have the job and you trust Jason Wilcox. I will respect that. I will be on the right side of history in my opinion, but I respect it and I hope you're right. Because if you're right, then Man United will win again. And that's all I want. I can respect your opinion. You can't respect my opinion because you're scared. You're scared that we might be right, aren't you? Who had a worse squad, Ollie or Carrick? Ollie was never given players he wanted, like Haaland. Carrick's overachieving, but would they back him to progress? Jack, I personally think that the squad that Mourinho left was very good. I just think that, you know, I look at the team that Ollie put out against Watford, and I don't know how we lost. I think Solskjaer had a good team. I really do. I mean, he had Greenwood, Rashford, and Martial as a front three. Look, I think Ollie had a good team. Yeah, Matic was still decent then. Pogba was still at the football club, I think. You know, Maguire is still playing for the club now, but this was 5 years ago. He was in his 20s, not his early 30s. Luke Shaw was a better player then as well. So I think that Ollie had a better team and better results. And it still didn't work out. When Carrick gets the job, they've got to back him massively. You can't have an inexperienced coach with results and a style of play that's not been that good and then not give him good players. He has to be backed. Absolutely has to be backed. And that's beneficial for everybody because if it doesn't work out, at least we've got some good players. Jack, thank you very much for that. I can only get behind Carrick. They give him world-class players. Cannot have a trainer, driver, coach, and also project players, says Jonathan. Well, yeah, exactly on that. We shouldn't ignore Kamara from Monaco either, says Toad. Thank you very much for that. Great show this morning. Really enjoyed it. We're back in the normal slot at 8 o'clock tonight because there's no way I'm watching Man City smash Burnley. So I will have that on whilst chatting to you good people at 8 o'clock. Great show this morning, really enjoyed it. And look, what I would leave you with is that sadly, the truth will set you free. They're going to give it to Carrick and what we're going through. I don't agree with it, but I know it's going to happen. I can't do anything about it. So there's no point moaning about it. They're going to give it to Carrick. I don't trust the owners. I don't trust the board. I think they're incompetent and I think this is going to go wrong. I hope I'm wrong about that.
But second to that, our fan base is split. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's split. That we're going to have to live in that world. We're going to have to live in. I saw a tweet, right? And I'll read it out, right? And to be honest with you, it was this. The manager discourse next season under Carrick is going to be just as bad, if not worse, than the last few years if United aren't immediately winning and playing well. I'm not really looking forward to it. It's already pretty wild to see the amount of vitriol around it. Whether you like it or not, we can't change that. We can't change that. Like, I think most people who don't want Carrick to get the job will back him when he gets the job, even though we don't trust the decision. But we are factually a split fan base, and people try to blame people for that, but there's only one people to blame, the owners. Is Man City's fan base split? No, because they're successful. Like, if you have, you know, is Chelsea's fan base split? No, they're majority pissed off because their ownership's shit. We are split because of our ownership. And we're not responsible for that. We're just entitled to our opinions. And people will keep arguing with each other. And that's what people are saying. Like, there's nothing we can do about it. This is a very, very volatile fan base at the moment. And it will be next season and it will be the season after. Unless we start winning consistently and get back to where we need to be. Otherwise, the divide will just come bigger. I don't have any answer to that. Nobody has any answers to that. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. If you want to back the decision and back this manager, that's up to you and get really excited. If you want to go, I don't trust this board and I don't like this decision, but I'll reluctantly see what happens, you have to respect that as well. And I think that's where we are. Melvin says, belabor why? He is the worst player on the transfer list of players. Is this Carrick pushing for belabor or Carrick has no voice? Well, belabor was a target last summer and Carrick wasn't here. So I would say it's a board decision where Carrick might be on board with it, might not be on board with it. Board waiting for belabor's performance yesterday, says Marlo. Yeah. Thanks for watching. What did I say to you in January? I said, I'm 90% sure Carrick will get the job and I'm 90% sure we'll sign belabor. Go and check the video. It's there in January. I said 90% on both. Let's wait and see. We're back at 2. Take care. Stay safe and speak to you all in a bit.